Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America. Happy Wednesday. Very busy day today on the election integrity front and on the news front. We've got three great guests for you today that really, I think, are going to open your eyes. A lot of people have been watching the Davos Forum, the World Economic Forum, conservatives scoffing at the globalist liberals there. One of our guests is arguing, you know what? Conservatives should get off their duffs, get over to Davos, give the counter argument. Don't let one side of the political aisle have a complete monopoly on the conversation at such a high-profile event. That guest, former ambassador to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, Ken Blackwell, is going to join us at the top of the show. He's also going to talk about the latest revelations on election integrity and a growing awareness among Republicans and conservatives that they need to get in the game on early voting. You can't just curse at the wind, that you must engage in the tactics that are currently lawful in the states where it is. You can change it when you win power, but not engaging now only puts Republicans at a disadvantage. A lot of people see the RNC election next week as a proxy over this issue, with Harmeet Dhillon saying that it's wrong of Ronna McDaniel to have ignored early voting, that there should be a greater effort on it. Ken is going to give us a great update on that. Remember, he was the former Secretary of State, one of the most important election states in the country, one of the big bellwether battlegrounds of Ohio. So we'll start there. In the middle segment, we'll give you an amazing story about an American hero, a man who helped rescue 17,000 Americans and Afghan allies left behind when Joe Biden pulled out abruptly from Afghanistan. Chad Robidoux, he's got an incredible story to tell. And he has a brand new book out, Saving Aziz. This was his interpreter when he was a Special Forces Marine. He went in and did what the United States government failed to do, which is to go get our heroes left behind in Afghanistan and bring them home. And Chad Robidoux is going to give us a firsthand account of that, why he wrote the book, what his relationship with Aziz is. That's a really powerful story. And what needs to be done in Ukraine? There are Americans willfully choosing to fight in Ukraine on behalf of our ally against Russian aggression. State Department and the U.S. don't have a plan for them. Chad's going to bring us up to speed on that as well. And then we'll finish up with an important story we had on Just the News this morning. My great colleague, Natalia Mittelstadt, is going to join us. There is new whistleblower allegations in Central Florida. That's the place where a candidate and a senior elections official in Orange County around Orlando, right in Central Florida, one of the most important voting regions of the state, has been raising real concerns about the integrity of elections here. Natalia Mittelstadt had a scoop on that with a new whistleblower complaint by the former IT director of Orange County Elections. We're going to get the full skinny on that. That's an important development and one of the issues that we cover carefully here at Just the News regularly. So three great guests back to back to back right after this commercial break. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't, you'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain. And you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com, and enter the promo code justnews15. That's the promo code justnews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Our first guest today, well, he doesn't need much of an introduction. He has done just about all you could imagine you could do in government. Former Secretary of State of Ohio, former ambassador to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, and one of the most sage voices when it comes to election integrity in this great country. He is Ken Blackwell. Mr. Ambassador, great to have you on the show, sir.
Dan, always, it's always good to be with you.
I am an avid fan of your writing. I read you often, and it's because many times you have this unique, uncanny ability to take an idea that's floating around in the back of our heads and get it right to the frontal lobe. And you had a column in the Washington Times. I was thinking the same thing. It's such a brilliant point to make. There's the Davos World Economic Forum going on right now. Obviously, all the globalists are there together. You wrote in the Washington Times, you know what? Conservatives should go there and show up, make their case, don't cede the discourse. How important is that advice?
Well, I think it's very important. We should never see discourse with those with whom we disagree. President Trump didn't. He was right there in Switzerland. The disruptor that he always has been, with a stale status quo. He basically pushed back with what he knew was not the majority opinion in that August body. But one of the things that I've learned, I'm three quarters of a century old, I've had the ability to actually study and learn from some of the folks who were the architects of the Bretton Woods Agreement, who were founders of the United Nations. Look, these are fora where we are often outnumbered by those who are statist in nature, but we in fact have the power of our ideas and the force of our arguments, and we should in fact take it to them. We ought to be in their grill, and we will ultimately win. But just think about it, John. Those minority voices, who basically had serious reservations about the prudence of moving ahead with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. They were ridiculed. They were marginalized, but they stood their ground, and they're being proven right. They went right into the monsters, you know. then fought the same thing for the courageous 20 members of the House who in fact stepped into the well, got ridiculed, bombarded in major media, and they prevailed. We, in fact, have to take it to the statists and big government socialists and push back, because we know the power and the force of our ideas.
Yeah, that's the key thing, too, is that we need to get back to a place where the marketplace will support listening to all ideas. The evolution of the rescission of free speech, the suppression of free speech, it's so shocking when you read through some of these Twitter files or some of the documents that the Missouri and Louisiana attorney generals have made public, where these federal bureaucrats don't even recognize that what they're doing is in direct contradiction to what our founding fathers wanted. They didn't want a big government that thought even for a second they could suppress speech. How do we begin to reverse that? Because it was at the heart of the thing you just talked about. A lot of what happened with the vaccines and COVID in general was there was one prevailing globalist view, and if you weren't on that, you got silenced. How do we get out of that rut that we have found ourselves in?
Well, we have to fight back. Look, one of the things that we know is that we're in a classic struggle between those who are totalitarian and authoritarian by nature, and those of us who understand what Aristotle understood, and that there is a dynamic tension between the organized muscularity power of the state and individual liberty. The more muscular, the more intrusive the state, the greater the threat to individual liberty. In the final analysis, we must be on the side of individual liberty, because, John, you and I say it all the time, we are not subjects. We are free citizens. That is, in fact, what the founding fathers of this nation fought for. They sacrificed their treasure and their lives to make sure that we were citizens and that the government was accountable to us. And so we just can't give up. We have to keep in the grill of those who are authoritarian, totalitarian, or big welfare state enthusiasts by nature. They only know when we fight back. And, you know, I talked to our buddy Steve Bannon about this before. I had a fancy of being a Golden Gloves boxer. A fifth bout, I got hit so hard in the nose that I went home and told my dad I was going to switch tracks and I was going to become a scholar. And stayed away from boxing arenas until I was a freshman in college, when Father E.J. O'Connor took me and a Jewish friend of mine to the Cincinnati Gardens. We watched the fight. Let me tell you what happened. 11th fight, Roy came out from the west side of town, made the sign of the cross. My Jewish friend Benji said, "Father, what's the significance of that?" Father says, "Son, come to class and I'll tell you. But right now, it ain't enough if he can't fight." And I will just tell you, you know, we can't just go through the motions. We must push back. We must go in the center ring, whether it's in Switzerland or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Clarksdale, Mississippi, or New York City. We, in fact, must engage. God has invested in us a human agency, and we must put it in motion.
Yeah, such good advice. And I know people get demoralized sometimes, but the time to be silent, to disengage, is not now. We need to be out there fighting for the essence of America. That's what I hear from so many great people like you. Ken, you are one of the most important voices when it comes to election integrity. And you said something on the latest Public Interest Legal Foundation podcast that caught my attention, which is mail-in voting should not be used to destroy the way that we have voted and to tear down the integrity of the system. Talk a little bit about what you meant by that, and what's the way forward when there's many states that are going to do it, right? We're going to have early voting. What's the best way to balance this so that we get back to an election system we trust? Easy to vote, hard to cheat.
Right. We know that our preferred way of keeping the integrity of our voting system intact is same day of voting, voting in person. But the reality is, one of the benefits of our system is that it's decentralized. One of the challenges of our system is that it is decentralized, and that means some states will use mail, vote by mail. Well, that means that we have to make sure that that system is as tight as it could possibly be, and we have to start with the truth. John, if you look at the annual report of the U.S. Postal Service, they tell you that they, in fact, lose 3% of their mail a year. And so, one, we have to set up our calendars and our policies and practices in such a way that we try to minimize the use of vote by mail. But when you have to use it, you use a calendar and you use verification systems, signatures, last four numbers of the Social Security to validate, to make sure that the person who is casting the ballot is the person who should be casting the ballot. And so we, in fact, look, what I've told people, in those states where vote by mail is the deal, the only way that we're going to change it and strengthen the system is to use the system, win a majority in the state legislature, and then strengthen the system. We can't tie one hand behind our back and expect that we will get policy change. It won't change if, in fact, you elect a majority of people who buy into this insane approach of voting.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan used to say, I'm a principled guy, but I won't unilaterally disarm. And so, and it seems as though there's a growing number of Republicans realizing that that's the right strategy. If it's legal, use it. And then when you get in power, make it better. Leon Benjamin, he's a Republican nominee for the special election in Virginia 04 House District. He said, I voted early and I'm getting my voters out early because that's the rule of the land right now until it changes. I'm going to do that. You see, in the RNC race, this is becoming a very big issue. As Harmeet Dhillon says, listen, we got to get modern in the states where it's legal. We're going to do it. It seems like we're at a turning point in the Republican mindset, which is, yeah, we still prefer to vote day out, but until we can't in those states, we're going to engage in the current system. Is that the right approach?
That's the right approach, I tell you. And look, I think we have elections make a difference. One of the things that we accomplished in 2022, you remember in 2020, there were a lot of polls in precincts that were, where we didn't deploy people. This time in 2022, that was not a problem. The problems were elsewhere. But in terms of coverage at the polls, we elected people. I mean, we recruited folks to engage in this election as poll workers and poll observers, and they did it. And we won it at the precinct level. And those people who were early on advocates for the precinct project don't get enough credit. But there was a coalition effort to make sure that we had eyeballs on the process. We utilized that old theory that if you're not in the room, you're not in the game. And so that part of the process was covered. We now know that there are other reforms that we must continue to put in place. But the reality is we now have the House of U.S. House of Representatives. We were blessed not with a red wave, but with a margin that, in fact, empowered some principled conservatives who didn't buckle, who didn't get weak in the knees. And in fact, we now have a Republican majority with rules, regulations, and an agenda to do the right thing and put us on a path of making America prosperous and the true leader of the free world that where God has assigned us.
Although Republicans were ultimately a little disappointed with the overall outcome, the Republican preference in the national vote was the first time we've seen in a very long time. Republicans got more votes than Democrats in the national vote. That is a real sign of maybe a bigger shift ahead if some of these election issues can be harnessed in a more constructive way. Last question for you, Ken. Kerry Lake is fighting an important lawsuit in Arizona. I think it's a lot less about who's going to be declared the winner, because obviously the governor's already been seated there, and much more about ensuring that a decade of problems in this state, particularly in Maricopa County, finally get cleaned up. How important is it that she prevail?
Oh, it is very important. Let me just end on this note. In John 3, we're told those who will do evil love the darkness. And in various other parts of the Bible, we're told to put our light on a candlestick, not to hide it under a bushel. Kerry and those fighters in Arizona are lamplighters. They, in fact, are punching holes in the darkness in Arizona. And in fact, we will be a stronger nation. They will be a stronger Arizona for the willingness to fight and to sacrifice treasure and reputation.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot. That antiseptic of light has a funny way of making things better in the long term. It's painful sometimes in the short term, but long term, that antiseptic is always proven.
But a pinhole in a room of darkness can conquer that darkness.
Yeah, it's so true. So very true. Mr. Ambassador, it is always an honor to have you on the show. You always speak truth to power. You always sound, I always see when I'm you're talking, I can see the heads collectively moving in the podcast. So I say agreeing, nodding yes. That wisdom is something we so dearly treasure. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, John. God bless, brother.
God bless you as well, sir. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. We've talked often on this show about the importance of rescuing all of those amazing Afghan allies that we had helping our military for 20 years that Joe Biden left behind with the chaotic and completely bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan a year and a half ago. My next guest, well, he put word into action. He's a former Force Recon Marine, MMA fighter, runs a great organization called Save Our Allies, and he has a brand new book out. You must read this book. If you care about what went on in Afghanistan, this is a must read, Saving Aziz. Joining us right now, Chad Robichaud. Chad, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
This is a powerful story about what happened at the 2021 Kabul airlift. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this book and what the bigger story is for the American public to take away.
Well, I mean, the book is really about my friendship with Aziz, who was my interpreter for 8 deployments to Afghanistan. I was part of Special Operations Command Task Force. I worked independently in what's called a singleton operation to go out ahead of my unit and build the clandestine infrastructure for us to put our soldiers on target to capture, kill bad guys. And Aziz is my interpreter, and for continuity purposes, he was my interpreter for all 8 of those deployments. And we spent much time alone together in those mountains of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and hundreds of missions. And he saved my life multiple times. Probably saved my life every day through his actions. And we became very close when we were not operating. I didn't go back to base, and he went home. I went to his home, and my first warm meal out of those mountains were cooked by his wife Hatra, and I was there when his son Mashud and Mashuda, his older daughter, his son and daughter were born, and held them as babies. And you know, these are my friends. And so when President Biden announced the withdrawal from Afghanistan, you know, a couple of things. One is I knew that the full withdrawal was a catastrophic mistake, not just for the United States and national security, but for the world and for the people of Afghanistan. And secondly, I knew my friend was in danger and needed to get him. And I think it's important. I think it's important for the American people to know that we have been told a lie that by the White House and by the mainstream media that we were in a near war and that we had to evacuate Afghanistan. We had to bring our troops out to keep America's sons and daughters from being killed. That was a lie to manipulate the American public to support the withdrawal of Afghanistan. This was not true, and it was inconsistent with historical strategies the United States has had post-war. So to clarify that, in 2018, the U.S. military stopped engaging in conventional kinetic warfare with the Taliban and shifted to support and advisory role to the Afghan National Army and Afghan National Police. In fact, the entire international community was partnered on this, and it was working. We had 2,500 to 4,000 troops participating in this, which is equal to contingents we have all over the world. But we are meanwhile maintaining the most strategic place on the globe, which is the Bagram Air Force Base between Iraq, Iran, Russia, and China. And we have never historically just abandoned a place like that. The only other thing close was when President Obama did it at Al-Asad Air Base in Iraq, and that was an equal catastrophe, not as great, but an equal catastrophe. And if you look historically at places like Germany and Japan, we have 80,000 troops in Japan and 20,000 in Germany. I mean, 40,000 in Germany since World War II. We have 35,000 troops still in South Korea since the Korean War. This is how we maintain these strategic strongholds and keep the world a safer place and prevent future wars. So this strategy is working, but the White House chose to negotiate with the Taliban, not our NATO partners, not any of our allies, not the Afghan government that we put in place. They chose to negotiate with the Taliban and turned over that base to our enemies. And when I say our enemies, I mean the Taliban. I mean China, Iran, Russia, the Pakistan ISI. We turned it over, and it cost American lives. It abandoned American citizens still in Afghanistan and left 75,000 plus their families of our allies stranded in Afghanistan still to this day.
It's amazing. And your book has been endorsed by so many remarkable people, whether it's Glenn Beck, Chris Miller, the former Secretary of Defense, former Navy SEAL Jack Carr. This is a powerful book. One of the things that you get a sense of is that this was a slow motion wreck that happened, that all of these things were conceivable and preventable. It was just a desire or failure by the Biden administration to do anything that would be responsible to all those who stood by us often for 2 decades, like Aziz. The mindset, what is wrong with the mindset of the Pentagon not to have a plan for this? And for the political leaders not to appreciate the long-term consequence. Because if we leave someone behind in Afghanistan, the next time we go into battle, someone's going to say, oh, I saw what you did with the guys in Afghanistan. I'm not helping you. This has a long tail of consequence to American military.
Why would anyone trust us in future wars? I mean, we abandoned our allies and we left them for dead without even any kind of transition plan. It's horrific. I don't believe this was a mistake. Mistakes are pretty clear in things people make mishaps. But this was advised against by the Joint Chiefs, by our Intelligence Committee leaders. All of them advised the president not to do this, and he chose to go against their wishes and did this anyway. And he did it hastily and without a clear plan. In fact, it was so bad that they closed Bagram Air Force Base, which would have been, again, I don't agree with the withdrawal, but if they were going to withdraw, you don't close the military base, which is an airfield, which would have been the best airfield to do evacuations from. They closed the air base. They moved our military off. They left the $85 billion in equipment there. They moved all the military out before civilians, before our allies. before moving our equipment out, they did all of it completely backwards. And then the White House gave the NEO operation, which is a non-combatant evacuation operation, away from the Department of Defense and gave it to the State Department, who has no idea how to do that. Instead of giving terms to the Taliban, they gave a date. They said, we will be gone by this date, which is a huge mistake because now the Taliban just has to be patient and hold out. Instead, they should have said, we will leave when we get all of our American citizens out, all of our allies out, everyone that we want out, including our equipment, then we will leave. And if you get in the way and slow us down, we're not going. And that would have been the way a competent commander-in-chief would have done things. But again, I don't believe this was incompetence. I don't believe this was a mistake. I believe this was very deliberate. And unfortunately, there was people who benefited from this. It wasn't the Afghan people. It wasn't America or the West and the free world. It was China, Iran, Pakistan, ISI. Those are our enemies, and those are the people who benefited from this.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. As we step into this, one of the things that we saw was the private community, like yourself and so many others, stepping in to fill the void that the U.S. military, United States government, President Biden left there. Is this a model going forward? Will there be a permanent infrastructure to try to rescue people we leave behind in war zones because of the lesson we learned from this president?
Well, I'm on the phone right now, as you called, rescuing a Navy SEAL who was injured, who is catastrophically injured right now in Ukraine. And our government's not allowed to go into Ukraine to help him. And we're a civilian or moving him out. I have one of my team members doing that as we speak. I've been to Ukraine 10 times since February doing what our government should be doing for American citizens that are there. But look at what happened in Afghanistan. I had to go get my friend. We put together a small team, a former special operations guys to go get my friend Aziz because I owed him my life, to get his wife and his six kids out. And then that ultimately evolved into an effort to, we rescued 17,000 people. I think what we learned from this is that, when our government fails and the governments of the world fail, including our own, despite that, good people will stand up and do the right thing. And I was very privileged to witness so many amazing people that I was able to lock arms with in this effort to ultimately save 17,000 people. We did the airport evacuations and then did a secondary evacuation through a coalition effort. And then ultimately, we ended that with myself and the Staff Sergeant Dennis Price going into Tajikistan and crossing over the Panjshir River and swimming across the Panjshir River in Afghanistan and building routes out for the thousands trapped in the Panjshir Valley. And, this is something that we're proud of, and we're thankful that we've gotten gotten gratitude for it. But the truth is, we should never, ever have had to do this operation. This is the responsibility of the United States government to do, especially when you're talking about Americans left behind. And when we chose to stay after the military left, there was this debate that whether there's 100 Americans there, as the White House was saying, or thousands. And to me, it's not debatable because I can tell you for certain that there were thousands of Americans still there. But the truth is, it doesn't matter if there was 100 or 1,000. One American never, ever be left behind by the United States government in a place like Afghanistan. It is a problem American people should feel for the security, and that the government would do the right thing. And where I come from, the special operations community, if you're an American and you're stuck in harm's way, we will literally scorch the earth to go get you. And to think that our White House intentionally abandoned not only our allies and the 75,000 allies that we left behind, but American citizens, blue passport holders like me and you, we left behind to the brutal Taliban. And that's not okay.
Amazing. Amazing that we have amazing people like you to step into that void. You didn't give yourself the credit you deserve. You're an American hero, and Save Our Allies is an amazing institution. Before we leave, I want to ask how we support that. But before we do, one last question. You tickled my ear on something. Do we have American citizens in danger in Ukraine that our government isn't paying attention to?
In Afghanistan, the White House, I want to answer this in this way. In Afghanistan, the White House was saying there was Americans that were choosing to stay there and not wanting evacuation. That was not true. Americans in Afghanistan were scared to go to that airport because we gave the outer perimeter control to the Taliban. So any American that wanted to go in the airport had to go through a Taliban checkpoint. They were witnessing Taliban taking blue passports, beating people, cutting people's arms off, shooting people on the street. Any American would have reasonably been terrified to even attempt give their blue passport to the Taliban. So that was not true when Secretary Blinken said that, and the president said that. That was not true, that Americans couldn't leave. The Americans that are in Ukraine right now are there because they choose to be. And so it is a different situation. However, when an American is there on a humanitarian effort trying to do a good thing, there is a certain responsibility that they carry themselves, but there's also a responsibility of the American government to participate and do the right thing and not put red tape on themselves to where they say, we can't do anything. We can't even cross that border.
Yeah, that is a very important obligation. We have to remind the American public about that our government, once again, is not fulfilling. You have inspired so many people to get involved in this. How do people, if they're inspired by what you've done, how do they get involved with Save Our Allies?
Save Our Allies, they have a website, and they're still doing things around the world. SaveOurAllies.org is their website. My website for my foundation, of course, I was one of the founders of Save Our Allies, but my foundation and where I primarily work and do my international efforts is Mighty Oaks Foundation. We do it with Veterans Base. Yeah, Mighty Oaks is, we do active duty veterans, first responders, spouses, programs here in the United States, and then we do our allies around the world. That's who we're working with in Ukraine right now, Mighty Oaks Foundation. Get the book, Saving Aziz. You can go to savingaziz.org or anywhere books are purchased. And the reason I want to make sure people understand why I want people to get the book spent 5 months in the Pentagon. It's heavily redacted, but the things that are left in that book we know are true. And since those things are true, if any of those things in the way that the White House or our government handled the withdrawal, then you need to take those things as fact and call your congressman and senator and tell them that you're not okay with this, because the Senate investigations and congressional investigations will be open on the withdrawal of Afghanistan, and that your representatives need to hear from the people that this was not okay. We can't do this again.
Really important opportunity for transparency, which we were denied all last year on Afghanistan. Very important moment. Chad, what an honor to talk to you. Congratulations on all you've achieved on behalf of your country. And we wish you well. This book, folks, is a must read. Saving Aziz. Go get it today. You will not be disappointed. Once you get it, you won't be able to put it down. It's an amazing, riveting story. It's well written. And it's written based on the facts of what happened, not what you were told in the news media at the time. Chad, a great honor to have you on. Thank you so much, my friend, and be safe.
Anytime, John. God bless, man. Thanks.
You as well. Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down. And my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. I've been doing this more and more because there's been so much breaking news on Just the News. Hardly a day goes by without some pretty big revelations on a lot of the issues that you care about, whether it's election integrity, the classified document scandal involving President Biden, all of the ongoing investigations that Congress is finally getting to a couple of years late. And I thought we'd do a quick update because Natalia Mittelstadt, my extraordinary colleague at Just the News, had a very important story about Florida. Now, Florida's a state's got good election laws, got a good election police force. And even with all of those things, we're learning a lot about Central Florida, Orange County, Orlando, one of the biggest voting blocks in the state. And Natalia has been on this from the moment these whistleblowers came forward, and she had a big update this morning. So let's bring in Natalia Mittelstadt from Just the News. Natalia, great to have you on the show.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Another great story today. You have really been on top of this in Florida, which, by the way, is a state with good laws. But even there, there's some real concerns about a disenfranchisement, harvesting of ballots. Tell us what the new allegations from the whistleblower revealed to us today.
Sure. So a whistleblower from the Orange County Supervisor of Elections, Brian Freed, who was fired in October from his position as the Information Systems Director. And that was over his call for firing another official at the office who was allegedly basically keeping private employee information and also had unredacted voter data that was being exfiltrated. So Ryan filed an affidavit recently with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and this is regarding basically the unsecure and unsupervised creation, printing, management, and storing of live ballots at the Orange County Elections Office. Basically, he was saying that from the creation of ballots to the managing of them, to the tabulation, to sending them out, there's not really much, if any, security overseeing those ballots. So that's a significant issue that he was pointing out.
Remind everyone what Ryan's job was in there. He isn't just any official, right? He had pretty strong visibility into the entire electronics back end of the Orange County voting system, correct?
Right, yes. He was the information systems director there. Yeah.
So their top tech guy, essentially, making these allegations and having the wherewithal or the visibility to actually see what was going on. Let's walk through, because there's really been three tranches of whistleblower allegations. The first came from a candidate, a Democrat candidate, who had lost the Orange County election in the primary last year. Remind everyone what she told us that started us down this path.
Yeah, so you're referring to Cynthia Harris, and she had been running in as commissioner in the area of Orange County, and basically she was saying that she witnessed ballot harvesting occurring in Orange County, and that was what she had filed an affidavit about, saying that somebody had come to her house for ballot harvesting, and that she learned that people were being paid in order to harvest ballots in the area.
And she was an eyewitness. She actually saw it happen to herself, right? Someone came to harvest her ballot once, right?
Yep, she did.
Pretty remarkable. And then we got to the second round of allegations from this IT chief. Remind us before what he revealed to you yesterday, what else was going on?
Yeah, so before he had mentioned that another official in the Orange County Supervisor of Elections office had basically let unredacted voter data go out to like 200 temp workers for the electronic poll pads, and that include protected voter data, which is supposed to be redacted. And so that was the original affidavit he had filed. And then this one was a follow-up to that, which basically saying how voter fraud could occur even beyond that, with not only that unredacted data not being stored properly, but in addition to that, the ballots and the ballot materials not being properly secured or any oversight over them, so that people could create ballots and basically alter possibly, you know, elections with them.
A lot of red flags in that information. The Orange County Elections Office, what are they saying? We got three different whistleblower complaints now. What are they saying? We always reach out for fair comment. What's the latest from them?
Yeah, so the latest is that they have not gotten back to us after several days. So they did respond to the Cynthia Harris one, saying that they weren't aware of any ballot harvesting. And with regard to the previous affidavit that Ryan had filed, they said that they took cybersecurity allegations seriously, and that there had been no data security breach. And so that was where they last left it. That was what they said.
And Florida state government, Ron DeSantis, had created the Election Crimes Unit, brand new police force there. They're looking into all of this?
Yes, they are. So Brian Freed and also Cynthia Harris had filed their affidavits with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. And so they are reviewing those and have spoken with both Brian and Cynthia, I believe, regarding their affidavits and are looking into all these allegations.
Wow. Pretty important stuff. Well, we're so grateful. Natalia, you do such a great job covering election integrity issues all across this country, from Georgia to Florida and Michigan and Wisconsin, all the way down to Texas. You've been on top. And of course, Arizona, where you've done some great work, particularly in Maricopa County. We're so grateful for the updates. We're going to keep a close eye on this case in Florida. It's definitely captured the public fascination, but great to have you on the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. So grateful you can join us. A really fantastic show today. A big thank you to Ken and to Chad and to Natalia for bringing us up to speed on three very different but very important issues. Keep an eye on justthenews.com. A lot of breaking news going on there today, including the fact that President Trump has asked Facebook to restore him like Twitter as the 2024 election comes up. That's an important development. You can get the latest on that at justthenews.com. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our great guests. God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.